is in session. Since we have some new members, I think it's probably best to start with introductions. Oh, actually, we do have an audience now. But I'm Langston Budenhagen. I am the District 1 Youth Appointee and the Youth Co-Chair. Sorry, let me pull up the panelist tab. Would the staff like to start with introductions?
Sure. Sandra Taylor, Oakland Fund for Children and Youth Director in City of Oakland, Human Services Manager.
I'm Mike Wetzel, I'm the OFCY Program Planner.
Scott Kim, Program Analyst.
All right, and how about other panelists?
Pam Harris, Mayor's Appointee.
Betty Booker, District 6.
Cameron Park, District 2.
William Kegelmeyer, At Large.
Dwayne Davis, District 3.
Peter Lay, District 2.
All right, is that everybody?
Hello, Karita Allen, District 3, Adult Co-Chair.
Fantastic. Okay, so with that out of the way, we can just really quickly review the agenda. It looks like we don't have any real things to vote on tonight, but it does look like we have a lot of great information that'll be provided by us, provided to us by the staff. To start, would anybody like to make a motion to approve the meeting minutes after they're displayed on screen, Scott?
There it is.
All right.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second that motion.
May 6th meeting.
Okay, now I'm just going to go down the line for those of you who haven't been on a meeting yet. I'll go down the line and just ask you for your vote. Mr. Lee?
I abstain.
Okay. Ms. Allen?
Yes.
Ms. Park?
Yes.
Ms. Booker?
Okay.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Ms. Harris?
Yes.
Ms. Kwamalele?
Yes.
And Mr. Kegelmeyer?
Yes.
Just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. All right, motion carries. Okay. Next agenda item, Scott, if you could switch back to the schedule for me, thanks so much. It looks like we have a youth recognition item from the staff.
And could I just slow it 1 second there? This is Mike Wetzel, staff, and just let Peter Lee have a chance to introduce himself. He's newly appointed to the POC. This is his first meeting. He was sworn in by the city clerk just this afternoon, so he could be official for today. I just want to give him a chance there.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, everyone. As Mike said, my name is Peter Lay. I was just recently appointed to the POC representing District 2, and today is my first official meeting, and I'm really excited to be here. Just real briefly, I'm currently the program manager with the California School-Based Health Alliance. We're a statewide nonprofit that focuses on startup and operations of school-based health centers across the state. Prior to this role, I was a biology educator in Oakland. I previously taught K through 12 in undergraduate biology courses, but now I've since taken on greater roles to do more work in public health. And so I'm really excited to be on the POC. I've been a participant of several of the programs that the OFCY funds. And so now I'm really glad to be on the other side and continue supporting these organizations that do just really incredible work in the city of Oakland.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And thanks, Mike, for giving the chance to introduce Mr. Lay. All right. Now, if the staff would like to move us to agenda item number 3.
Great. Thank you to the chair. Yeah, so we just want to take an opportunity. This is the last meeting officially of this fiscal year, which is the fiscal year 1920, to really recognize the youth commissioners, particularly Langston Budenhagen, Cameron Park, Dwayne Davis, and William Kegelmeyer. We really want to just acknowledge that you have contributed, you have volunteered your time. We hope you've learned a lot, and we hope that being on Oakland Fund for Children and Youth helped you to just make your own contribution to public service. We think it's really important that you have bring your voice, and through this really strange year, we appreciate that you have continued to attend these meetings and to reflect and to support the work of Oakland Fund for Children and Youth. Normally we have, you know, in-person meetings, and we get a chance to acknowledge you through as well. We do have a process that allows us to provide a youth scholarship, but we obviously are not going to be able to hand those over. We will be mailing those out, and we just want to take an opportunity for the other members of the commission to speak to how much value and appreciation we have for the youth, most of whom, I think all of you, right, are graduating from high school and have plans and opportunities before you, even though it's a very strange time. So, you know, with that, I really would appreciate any of our other members speaking up. And also, we'd love to hear from you if there's anything that, you know, you have to say, and just wish you really, really well.
Thank you.
So this is Betty Booker from District 6. To ditto what Sandra has already said, also just congratulations on your accomplishment, and thank you for giving so much of your time to help out with the OFCY board as well.
Anybody else want to jump in? And we'd love to hear from any of the youth as well.
Yeah, I would just like to say, Langston.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. I feel like I learned a lot, and I'm really grateful that I got to experience this. So thank you, everyone.
I'd like to definitely echo Cam's sentiments, but thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to participate in government as a youth. It's a really unique opportunity that I think a lot of kids don't get the chance to have. But I've definitely learned a lot, and it's helped me solidify a lot of my career goals. And since I'll be still in the area next year, I'm looking forward to hopefully continuing my service.
Yeah, I agree. This was a really amazing opportunity, and I feel like I've learned a lot throughout the last 2 years I've been doing this.
Well, we don't mean to put you on the spot. You know, we just really enjoy the work because of the participation of the youth commissioners. And in particular, you know, it's been a really, really difficult year, we know, for you as a graduating seniors and members of the Oakland community and the world community, really. But we are going to miss you. This is a really, upcoming year, I think, is just, there's a huge challenges ahead for everybody, but definitely for the work, I think, for Oakland Fund for Children and Youth. And so, you know, we hate that, you know, most of you will miss that, but we know that you need to learn and explore and go on and do other things. But we wish you would still be around. So just to put that out there. We're glad to hear that Langston will be around as a member of the commission if he so chooses.
Absolutely. And thank you again to staff and all the other panelists for such a nice recognition. I really appreciate it. All right. If there's nothing further on that item, then I think it would be great to move to number four, the OFCY grants and COVID-19 impacts discussion. Staff, do you want to kick that off?
Yeah, Mike is going to talk about this. This is some work that he really spearheaded with Social Policy Research Associates, which is the annual evaluator for OCY, to dig deeper, as deep as possible, into the work that the grantees are doing in this, you know, since the onslaught of the pandemic. So I'm just going to ask him to talk about that, and hopefully there'll be a little time for discussion and for questions.
Sure. Hello, everybody. Scott, maybe you could help me out and pull up the memo from SPR. So Social Policy Research Associates, they are an independent evaluation firm based in Oakland. OFCY contracts with them for the annual independent evaluation. And usually in their annual evaluation, the springtime is the time that they collect surveys from program participants, do interviews with staff, get a lot of the qualitative information that goes into the report. So as COVID hit and the shutdown, shelter in place happened in mid-March, that was right when they were looking to really kind of dig into hearing from the community, hearing from the participants, hearing from the program staff to provide more context to their evaluation. They were able to, Social Policy Research, was able to kind of continue on with the plan and alter it. So they had interviews with 25 different program directors across different strategies that OFCY funds to get a sense of what they're doing in the months right after the shelter-in-place order hit. So these interviews took place April 14th to May 15th. It was, you know, 1 month into the shelter in place, prior to George Floyd and the protests that we've seen. So it's a really unique time when programs are just first pivoting and trying to figure out what to do with how they could serve the community. So, through these interviews, SPR has collected this memo and was able to kind of give a snapshot of how programs were able to respond. And I think the front line in the community, a lot of is these community-based organizations. They were the ones to try to quickly assess the participants, their basic needs, from tech connectivity to food to healthcare, to basic financial support. It was very much the triage work in the first months of a lot of disruption in everyone's lives, in employment, in financial stability, and food security. So we see a lot of programs as trying to adapt as much as they can to address basic needs, shifting their programming away from what they're initially funded for, you know, to do the more primary important work at the time. It includes increased support for families accessing food, increased case management, helping families again with financial support. In addition, a lot of programs still wanted to keep engaged. They still try to keep engaged with the children, youth, parents, young adults that they serve. They switched to Zoom, as we all are on Zoom now, Google Meets. Community-based programs are much more, I'd say, not just flexible, but creative in the ways of approaching young people, including, you know, connecting through video games and myriad different ways of technological access to keep in touch with parents and families and children. a lot of programs work to try to update their curriculum to shift online to continue in some ways, recognizing a lot of learning, just like schools had a lot of change in how they shifted to online learning. I think our programs in a lot of ways are more resilient with their curriculum, and in some cases to be able to provide some connections online. Some definitely were challenged. I don't want to go through the memo line by line necessarily. I know that you've all had opportunity to look at this. It does show just that while the programs are funded in a stable time for stable services, they've really tried to adapt and be there in April and May as needed to serve families. They've continued to do this in June, July. We are just getting the fourth quarter reports from programs right now. Our grant managers are reading right now how these programs did shift in real time to provide more direct service through after-school programs integrating with the school day more, for example, providing, again, like food security, food support, really trying to reach out to families more, not just the young people that are usually engaged in the program, but helping to support parents who are challenged by all this. And they do end up some recommendations for OFCY. And these are really kind of food for thought for us, for staff, is how we work with the 150 programs that are supported, serving over 20,000 children and youth in Oakland. How can our small team here at OFCY really help connect the community to kind of promote some distance learning and staff development, which we're trying to do through some, you know, grantee convenings that we hold, adapting and communicating expectations as monthly the plans for schools reopening is changing, and just each day is a new change for plans. We as staff or OFCY have been trying to work with programs to communicate our expectations so they look for clear communication from us, which we'll try to continue to communicate. And then there was some worries back at that time about communicating about funding and what the impact was on the local government, on grant renewals for the year. The city council did approve grant renewals for the year that you voted on in June. So programs are right now going into contract for new programming. So that thankfully is less of a, hopefully a concern for this here and now. So with that, I just want to, sorry for talking too long, but I want to open up for any questions from the POC, and then recognize that some programs or people, participants might want to also comment.
Do any panelists have anything to add through raised hands, and the chair will recognize? Okay, yeah, Ms. Harris.
Hi there. Please feel free to call me Pam. I'm gender non-binary. They, them, she, her is great. I just wanted to thank the staff for presenting this feedback and important insight into what's going on in the community. I'm a parent and a commission member, and it's, you know, I have my own experience raising children in Oakland right now. And it's been so difficult for so many of us. So it was so important for me to get this information so well presented and to see what impact it has. And to me, really fundamentally, what it points to is the need for flexibility going forward. And I think that the staff and the agency has demonstrated that, and I am looking forward to, you know, continuing on in that vein as we go into our next fiscal year and looking at the needs of the community and really working to respond adequately to the need that is out there. So I just want to say bravo, brava, gender non-binary, excellent work to everyone out there who made this report happen. and helped us, you know, gain critical insights into what's going on in the community. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Anyone else from the panel? Okay. And I'd like to turn it over to the public. If you have some comment or question on this, we would ask that you use the raised hand feature, and please keep your questions or comments to 2 minutes to ensure that everybody has the chance to speak. Is there anyone who has anything to add? Okay, one last call. Okay.
I would just want to end this by saying thanks to the programs. It really is, they are, it's almost this, the network of nonprofit agencies and the services provided under the radar at times has really helped bridge some sort of, you know, I understand where you come from, Pam. I got three kids too, but just the connections, right, that programs have been able to provide in that point of time when they were interviewed. I want to say that they're continuing to do it, and we do want to continue to work with them going forward here. Is this kind of expectations of planning and flexibility, and really we're trying to take it as staff with our programs. We're going to try to take our planning in a different direction this year. We're working in 6 month intervals with the grantees and asking them to do a 6 month projections, and that we want to revisit it every 3 months with them, knowing that this is a flexible world. And even within that 6 month of projections, we're telling our programs to be as broad as possible and as expansive, and that we will be as kind of working with them. And well, so we're just trying to get some data in from summer starting, and we'll see how this works in this new world of flexibility and kind of working with programs, as they will have to be completely nimble as well.
Right. Okay, it looks like we have a couple more hands from the panelists. Ms. Allen, go ahead, I saw you first.
I had a question in terms of, I know that we definitely have to be flexible, and there's a lot of remote services and learning. And so will this be part of the evaluation? Like, will this, we will take this into consideration. Is that correct?
In terms of the evaluation, I think we're trying to really, this is such a strange year. We're trying to really both understand in a very real way what the different types of programs, after school or workforce or early childhood, are experiencing, and trying to sort of continue to have the conversation, because as it looks like this is not a short-term, immediately over situation. It's going to be going on through the year. How it's connected to evaluation is, we do have a scope of work for evaluation, so we'll be looking at that with the consultant. But you know, it will definitely have an impact, because we don't have a situation where the outcomes and the participation can be as easily projected and met. It's just a very fluid situation. And while we're asking folks to, you know, they're pivoting in terms of doing more family support and case management, there's also the mental health aspects and the health aspects. And so it's really going to be a challenge to figure out this year's evaluation. But it definitely has to have, it's nothing's in a vacuum. So that we are very much aware that all of these organizations are our frontline in supporting children and youth, but they're so affected by all of the impacts, and we'll have to figure out how, you know, what that means for evaluation. I just think there's a lot of work to be done, even laying the groundwork for, like, how do you do strategic planning in this sort of COVID year, fluid situation. So I think there are big challenges, and it's no easy answers, but we'll work through our committee process with the POC to try to be as real as possible with what's happening. It's very connected. I just was on a meeting with the COVID racial disparities task force, and you know, the focus is on how to do, you know, messaging and communications through community-based organizations at the very grassroots level. And I think that's because of the pandemic, all of these things we want to figure out how to support. But our tried and true traditional evaluation is going to have to accommodate this pandemic to some extent. That's a very long answer, but.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like yes. So this will be taken into consideration, even though there may be complexities and it may be challenging, but I guess my question is just thinking about that this is a pandemic, that when we evaluate, we're just taking this into consideration. And I'm not even necessarily asking how right now, because I know it's hard to assess that.
And they're trying to figure it out, our evaluators. Yeah. I'd say the last year's evaluation, they're trying to wrap it up right now. It's going to look a lot different just because annual targets for performance and enrollment were all shot and thrown out the window in March. And a lot of the qualitative data is going to be not enough of a sample to get depth on where we wanted on a results-based accountability framework this first year. So our evaluators are a little devastated in that sense, you know, and trying to pull together a good framework from that and approaching this next year to give you the information that you need as a POC members. So I do think we're trying to bring back our committees for some work in fall, and that could be part of the conversation for evaluation. Just to get a better sense on their approach for year two.
Pam, sorry, I see you've had your hand up for a while. Go ahead.
No worries. Thank you so much. I was just curious, Mike, you mentioned working with grantees, current grantees on a 6-month basis, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about if that's a departure from normal protocol and exactly what that entails.
Oh, as we're setting up our scope of work for this new fiscal year, we traditionally have annual projections for enrollment targets that the program will serve 100 young people. And then they project out for four quarters activities and populate those activities with, you know, days of the week and hours and average attendance. And this year we are saying you project out those activities only through 6 months. We don't need you to project out a full year of activities at this point, because even 6 months, we might need to be revising some of this anyway. So we're having them do 6-month projections on the activities. And then we're going to revisit those every 3 months to say, well, is this on track? Would we need to start over again? Usually our grant managers, when they set a scope of work for the year, they'll set it up at the beginning of the year, and the four quarter reports kind of say, are the programs on track for that annual scope? This year is going to be kind of more of a continuous setting up the scope and keeping it on track and knowing that we're revising and trying to keep some kind of continuity to, and, you know, consistency to the programming. So when they submit their quarterly invoices and their reporting, the grant managers can expect it to have some integrity for those 3 months, but you know, we can't hold them for activities in 2021 when it's so unstable at this time.
Thank you. And I see one hand from the attendees. Your name is listed as EbalDC-MS. So go ahead. Sorry, I don't have your name up. Sorry, it looks like this attendee is still muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Fantastic.
Hi. Hi, yeah. So this is Michelle
sit with East Bay Asian Local Development Corporation. I just wanted to, first of all, say, you know, how much we appreciate the flexibility your team has had with working with programs and us in terms of like understanding what, how we're a lot of our work now is looking into a crystal ball and trying to come up with, you know, targets and projections when things are changing week to week or month to month. So, you know, we're really grateful for that, so some of that space. I want to echo how it is really uncertain with what the programming will look like for us in revisiting our scope and planning it out. Even if our initial plan for the next 6 months involves social distance, safe outdoor, or, you know, what we are considering a safe right now, small group works outdoors or activities outdoors, it's hard to say whether that will be allowed, you know, in the next few months or not. And so it's been a little stressful in trying to predict everything on a short timeline. But I think it's helpful to hear that you know, other programs and everyone is having the same challenge. So we're doing our best to kind of lay it out and accept that it's not going to be perfect and accept that there might have to be modifications later on. But I just wanted to share some of those thoughts.
Thank you so much. I also see a hand from Maria Hassel. Go ahead. Maria Hassel, sorry, I don't see you anymore. There we are. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Hi, this is Maria Hassel. I am the Director of Community Services at Bananas, and I lead our Healthy Havens Court Collaborative, which is a combination of a lot of partners, including OUSD, Oakland Parents Together, Ebalzi, Bananas, Lockwood CDC, the wonderful Lion Creek Family Resource Center. And in terms of and programming, it has been very interesting to see how COVID has impacted our families and our services. I just want to say thank you to up front to OFCY for their flexibility and understanding that programs would need this flexibility to kind of get up to scale, you know, with technology and how do we do things and how do we do it now. We've been very successful meeting the needs of hard to reach communities, especially in Oakland with our own virtual play groups. In fact, the irony of this is that we have a higher attendance with play groups because it's online. We also had some additional funding to provide tablets and technology to families, so I think that helped as well. And we are also actively working with all our partners in the collaborative diapers and supplies. I think more of our challenge will be the uncertainty going forward, and that the scope of work might change, you know, several times during a quarter. And it sounds like that may be okay, but we have been very successful in working with other partners to cross-collaborate, including working with SparkPoint Oakland, who has also received additional funding for gift cards and connecting families to housing and having, you know, the Lion Creek FRC Family Resource Center be able to receive supplies and toys and books has been awesome. So I just want to say we too also have challenges, and because of this uncertainty about safety and in person, it provides just that we have to be more creative, but it has been interesting to us to see the data that some of our virtual projects are are attended better than ever. So I just want to say thank you. And that's what's going on with us at Bananas and our collaborative team.
Thank you so much. And I want to remind all of the attendees that we will have an open forum at the end. But if you have anything else to add that's specific to this item, we welcome your raised hand on the attendee tab. Is there anyone else? Okay, anything else from panelists, OSUI, staff?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you. And I want to say thank you, Michelle. Ebald Sea is also one of our summer food service provider distribution sites. They've been providing meals to families in need this summer. And Michelle's been busy all day, I know. So thank you. And thank you, Maria, as well.
All right. Thank you, staff. Thank you, attendees. Next, we have a discussion for the City Council Policy Directive to the City Administrator.
Hi, everybody. Let's see. This is Sandy again. I had invited Sarah Bedford to also come and attend. Just wanted her to be present and to be, able to field any questions. But really, we wanted just to bring this to your attention because it does concern OCY. The City Council approved the mid-year budget for fiscal year 2021. It's the mid-cycle budget. That means that we have a two-year budget process. This year was the first year, and then midway through the two-year budget process, the City Council stops and adopts a mid-year budget, which reflects any changes that need to happen for the second part of the budget cycle. So they adopted the mid-cycle budget, and it was tremendous, feat. Well, this past year because of COVID-19, and all meetings went to Zoom, and the city had a major budget deficits. This item was actually put on the was included as one of the proposals from what's been named as the Equity Caucus, and it is specifically we've attached the policy directive. It basically asks the city administrator to look at some things and take the time to do a plan actually that includes, among other things, moving OFCY to either the Department of Violence Prevention or the Oakland Parks and Rec and Youth Development Department. This was really provided at the meeting, and it was, I think it was June the 30th. It was, adopted with the budget adoption right there on the spot. It's really calling for further inquiry and investigation. It was just in the context of many of the issues the council was facing at that meeting. And so you see as an attachment the full City Council approved policy directives, which are much broader. Really, they are focused in a huge way on transforming public safety, and also they are focused, of course, on establishing a department on homelessness and strengthening the work in that area. And the third item that they considered was strengthening the Department of Violence Prevention and Parks, Recreation, and Youth Development. So they actually approved this as a policy directive to the city administrator, and for him to, or the office to really engage in a process to come up with a plan, and then that would be before the city council. I'm going to check again and see if Sarah is on, but because it involves OCY and we know this is a public discussion, we wanted to make sure that the POC received it, and to let you know that we've heard from the city administrator that they are just themselves in the process of figuring out like how to actually do a plan, that they would probably have a wider community input process, and they just really haven't outlined that process yet for staff or for anyone, but they did come and speak to the Human Services Department because it would greatly impact the Human Services Department. So that's kind of why we put it on here. We think it's always important. Oh, great. It's always important to have information that becomes part of the public discussion approved by the city council that affects an agency or a board, to have that before you as soon as possible. I believe Sarah may be on, and so I wanted to make sure that she, you know, is here to answer any questions or weigh in. And I'll pause here.
Can you hear me, Sandy?
Yes.
Okay, great. I wasn't sure. Thank you for having me here. And I did want to assure the BOC that we had no idea this was coming. Otherwise, we would have certainly preferred to be engaged, but also preferred to have you engaged in a conversation about a directive like this. However, I do think this is a time of reinvention in general in our country, in our world, and definitely in our city. So I think we have been open to exploring what this means, but also I am starting a process of engaging with the council members, and I would like them to engage with you as well to understand the goal of this, right? I think that's one of the critical areas that we want to understand what they're hoping to achieve and work with them to achieve that. I have talked to the chair of the LEC, Councilmember Taylor, a little bit, just a very initial conversation, and his interest is really on aligning resources where it makes sense, and I think he is very much interested in how we align such that if we have strong goals like youth development, how do they council understand how we're working towards those and how it all feeds up in together. So really a kind of performance framework for their top priorities. I did want to stress that this is an assessment of whether, sorry, that's my dog. I did want to stress that it's an assessment that we are to come back with in 6 months. They did not change anything in the current budget. They did not move staff or funding in any way. So we really have time to review, to understand what their goals are, and then to provide feedback on any unintended consequences or areas of strength. I will say one last thing, because it did happen very last minute, and this was a difficult budget process for the council, that I do think there were some areas where people didn't necessarily understand how we do work and how aligned we are with the Oakland Unite funding and the very complex work that goes into to make sure that these two important citizens initiatives kind of create a whole of investment. And so I think regardless of where people sit or whether people get moved around, I think your upcoming year of strategic planning is an incredible opportunity to make that kind of alignment more apparent, but also maybe stronger, right, across the community-serving departments. Anyway, I'm going to mute myself now, but I'm happy to answer questions, but you don't need to hear my dog.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor and Director Bedford. Does anyone on the panel have questions pertaining to this directive? Any raised hands? Yeah, it looks like we have one. Ms. Allen, go ahead.
Hi, Anacrita Allen, I'm District 3. So for clarification, this is just, in terms of policy directives, this is to explore, or is this actually to move one department underneath another?
I think it is a directive. It is council passed a directive that said, we want you to come back in 6 months and tell us what it takes to move this to this department or this, but it's a either or, right? To this department or this department. So it is going to require some analysis and some, you know, policy feedback in that report.
And I guess specifically, so does this mean when it's resources have, so I know there's the issue of course, we never want to like duplicate resources, but is this really an issue of aligning resources, or is this an issue of funding where there's another opportunity to tap into some, to other funding?
I think those are some of the critical questions that need to be answered.
Okay.
It's sort of, to me, your question, unless I'm not understanding it, is about what is the goal of making these moves. And I think I don't have that. I have some meetings set up upcoming, including with Councilmember McElhaney. We just need to better understand that. So we're analyzing things in that light of what the goals are.
Okay, thank you.
Pam, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your framing. I read the memo and had so many questions. So just hearing your framework in terms of the way forward is really, really helpful. I'm wondering if you have any, and I know this is very, very early in the process, but if you have any thoughts on some of the areas that an assessment would touch on, just, I mean, very writ large in my mind, from my perspective, sitting as a member of this commission, I would be really, really interested and want to center the impact that a move like this would have on grantees and the funds that get moved into the community, sort of looking at what it where we are now and what this move would mean in terms of, you know, processes for grantees, the resources that grantees would be required to add to or be given based on something like this, and whether any additional funding would be added to a bucket or taken out of a bucket. And then, of course, sort of staff impacts at the city level as well. So I'm wondering if you have any sort of just top line initial thoughts about that. Thank you.
I think there's a lot to unpack there to answer your question. Relates. Human services expertise in part is around grant making. And that's clearly, you know, this, I think OFCY is largely a self-contained unit, but the department as a whole is very highly leveraged. So there is a question of, if, you know, do you have to make some additional investment if you're going to pick up this leveraged piece and move it to another department? In terms of grantees, you know, my initial reaction is, you know, it might make more sense in a DVP because they also are a grant-making entity now, although very new, right? And with a lot of new directives under this reinvention of public safety. So it would be a lot for 1 year. In terms of grantees, I don't think so, but I also, we know that historically, and I think this board knows, that there's been a real interest from some of the council members on having this fund better support basic city services for youth development. So if there is a goal to see how city infrastructure is integrated, to me, that is less about where people sit and more about your strategic planning process. So the first thing I would propose to you as a board, you lead the strategic planning process, but I would propose in the spirit of the council's proposal to really engage very deeply, if we can, the directors of both of those departments, so that, because meanwhile, that strategic plan is going to set the direction regardless of where OFCY sits, right? And that happens over the next year. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm answering your question, but to me, that is what's really going to drive what the impact to grantees are.
My question was really sort of looking at if you could articulate a little bit more about what a report around
this move would entail, some of the areas that you would look at. Maybe you answered that. I'm not really sure. I mean, there's so much, as you said, here to unpack, and I think it's just a huge thing to even, you know, start to wrap your mind around.
Yes, it is, and I have to say we're still kind of a little dazed and confused. To me, it's hard for me to answer your question without understanding what the goals are. And I feel like I'm beginning to get a better sense. And so I think you have to unpack the goal. And if council wants to see something different, what does that look like to them? And then to really analyze it, when we move this here, does that get us to the end that you're hoping to achieve? Does that make sense? To me, there's a problem here because I'm not quite clear. Obviously we will do impact, fiscal impact, staffing impacts, capacity of the receiving department, challenges, again, we're very leveraged. So a lot of the fiscal support that comes to OFCY, including some of the little small percentage of staff salaries, isn't paid for out of the fund. It's paid for out of this leveraged pool of overhead in human services, which you wouldn't have in the other department. So there's those kinds of considerations, but those feel very wonky bureaucratic. I think it seemed to me you were pointing to that larger picture of what is the impact on our delivery of community services.
I think that's it. And thank you for that. That's exactly right. And I think wanting to urge us always, to center the impact in the community and the impact that this would have on our grantees. So, looking at the fact that, folks have learned a particular way to present their data, they've gotten used to that. What does it mean then if we shift to another department? Does that add an encumbrance on them? Is that a hardship for folks? Really looking at, what a change like this means in the communities that we serve. So I'll leave it there. And thank you so much for the framework that you've presented.
Yeah, and those are good points for us to consider as we go forward. Really critical point.
Thank you both. Are there any more questions, comments, anything else from panelists? Yeah, Peter Lay, go ahead.
So I just want to echo what Pam had already shared. I think, what I'm thinking a lot about is just how this will impact, the scope of work for grantees and just, the larger mission of OFCY moving forward. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, maybe this is a conversation, that happens with strategic planning. But I do, have some questions, some large grain questions just around, will this, impact, the types of organizations that, can apply for funding moving forward. So I just, really am saying this is to echo Pam's point of, what does this actually mean?
I don't have an answer for that yet.
I would just add.
No,
this is Sandy. I would just add that, one thing is that OFCY Kids First is grounded in legislation, which establishes the commission, which really has to approve the strategic plan, all of those sorts of things around how the funds are targeted, including to which organizations and what type of organizations are really under the umbrella of the commission. So it's not as if it easily sways to a department direction so specifically, because the commission really has this really unique empowerment. And also that obviously, like, the strategic planning is really the key around the changes that the commission wants to make in any given cycle for OFCY. So I think it's a big opportunity and also a huge challenge this time.
Got it. Thank you so much for clarifying that.
Anything further from panelists before we turn it over to raised hands and the attendees? Okay, with that, I'd like to ask if there's anyone in the attendees that would like to raise their hand to make a brief 2-minute comment on this directive. All right, one last call. Anything further from anybody? Any raised hands that I'm missing? Okay, staff, is it an okay time to move on now?
This is Sarah. I just wanted to, vis-a-vis your earlier item, I just really wanted to thank this board for maintaining their support and for the staff for the work they've been doing with grantees. I just think our ability to sustain this critical nonprofit infrastructure in the community is so very important. And so I want to thank you for that. I know that there were lots of questions about, is this the right thing to do? And do we keep making grants when you can't be in school? And I just think we really advocated for this, and you have supported it in ways that I think are so critical for our community and our recovery. So thank you.
I just want to thank Sarah for coming to the meeting and for speaking, because we really needed your voice. I did. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Bedford. All of your comments were very insightful. You cleared up a lot of questions that everybody had.
And you got to hear my dog, so it was really lovely.
All right. With that, staff, is it okay to head forward now? Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, now it looks like we're moving to item 6, the strategic planning process for fiscal years 2022 to 2025.
Yes, so we wanted to, because obviously this is, you know, a huge effort for this year, and following up both on, you know, the impacts in COVID-19 and all of the, you know, how we're going to be grounded in strategic planning this year, given that we're still we're in COVID-19, as well as the things that are pointed out in community conversation and in stakeholder conversation about aligning with work. You know, we want to just talk briefly about strategic planning process, sort of, and also where we are now this time around. You know, typically Oakland Fund takes really this, you know, a good 9 months to really do the strategic planning process, and the Planning and Oversight Committee forms a subcommittee that really leads that process and actually helps lay out what the process looks like. So the community engagement aspect, the stakeholder engagement aspect, we have an opportunity to work with an outside consultant to help facilitate the work. So we've done an RFQ process over a year ago. So going back, and that is a process in which we received statements of qualification from proposers. It was done more broadly for Human Services Department, but we want to staff be going through and looking at the qualifications that came in, and sort of starting to look at in this next period the consultant, you know, potential consultants who would come on to work with the commission. So that's one piece of where we are this cycle. We think it's a really important time to, not only because we have huge health issues going on, I think it's almost as if we want to make sure we're not setting the table with the current plan, doing very closely to the recipe of what happened and what created the current plan. That said, the current plan, you know, that did work very well. It's available at OFCY.org. I just think it's an opportunity to really start from scratch, to dig much deeper. It will be a very engaging year. We are going to take some time, you know, while the commission usually doesn't meet in August, but we will take some time to look at the potential consultants, and then, you know, consider the way forward with the POC's strategic planning subcommittee in September. So then at that point, you know, we hope to work with that committee to sort of lay out what the process looks like and to really try to consider the issues of equity, alignment with the DVP, and just really clarify so that can actually support, you know, perhaps where the commission thinks the strategic plan should land. So it's you know, at a point I was extremely just frustrated, just thinking how can you do strategic planning this year with this COVID-19 going on. I think it's going to be a huge effort, and because we don't know if we're planning for 3 years out, and we're not quite sure what those 3 years look like. But the commission will dig in, and I know people are working very hard to get their appointments in. So we want to have a strong committee that's just ready to take on all these issues and to help lay out a process that people feel is really valid for doing the next strategic plan. So where we are really is looking for folks who the membership on the subcommittee, and sort of taking a pause to look at potential people who have proposers who have submitted qualification statements, and then bringing that back to the commission to support having a consultant to do some of this work. Timing wise, I wanted to make sure that was clear. And we couldn't, you know, we thought maybe we should bring up the last plan, but I think it's kind of a point of exhaustion too for staff. So we're at this period of needing to really sort of regroup, and all of us sort of need to think really deeply about what strategic planning can look like this cycle. And we hope that you will know that the commission members will be very engaged. And I just wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity, if you have questions or want to just discuss it at this point. And the process in the bylaws is actually that the chairs appoint people to the subcommittees. And so we can also get to that under administrative matters. If people are interested in being on the subcommittee, it would ask the chairs to appoint them.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time to address that. I see a hand from Mr. Lay. Go ahead.
Hey, Sandy, just out of curiosity, where are you in the RFQ process? Has a contractor been selected?
No, so we have an RFQ that was released. We had several proposers who are interested and qualified to do strategic planning. The number is like 8 or 9 in terms of that. And so we, you know, literally are going back to those statement of qualifications and just looking at them and trying to identify those that we think should be candidates for interviews and for being a consultant as additional resource in the planning process. And so that's where we are. We literally have not interviewed those candidates for OFCY strategic plan, and really, I think even before that happens, there's a certain amount of re-envisioning what strategic planning process looks like. I think that consultant can help a great deal with the committee's work. Where we would probably, what we would probably want to do is go through those statements and identify the candidates that we think from our experience would be a small number to be interviewed and ask for a committee member or two to participate in those interviews. That's where we are.
Great, thank you.
Any further questions or comments from panelists? All right, I'll move to the attendees. Any raised hands? 2-minute comments from the attendees. All right, looks like people will save it for open forum. One last call before we head on staff. Is there any last things to address?
No, we're good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll go to agenda item number 7, open forum. One last reminder, just that if you are an attendee that would like to speak, please raise your hand and the chair will recognize you. And afterwards, please just remember to keep your comments to 2 minutes so that everybody can have a chance to say what they have to say. With that, is there anyone that would like to make a comment from the attendees? I'll give it just a little while, just in case some people are still waiting to comment. All right, one final call. Is there anyone that would like to make a comment from attendees? All right, with that, it looks like we can head into administrative matters. Staff, any general announcements? I know we mentioned them. Some of the stuff regarding agenda item number 6.
We do want to just clarify that August is usually a break for the commission. We are hopeful that the next meeting of the commission would be in September. That would be either September 2nd or the 16th. The 2nd, I don't know. And we might want to think about at that first meeting sort of what the possibilities are for orientation and sort of retreat so that to help engage further in strategic planning. Just want to, you know, confirm that August is the right time to take a break as the city council does for the commission. Which is not to say that we can't have some committee work going on there with strategic planning in particular, but we do want to not hold a public meeting in August. And then the other item I think that is, just important to state is that we are working with council members trying to get the appointments process to a point where we have make sure that there's a full roster of Planning and Oversight Commission members to start the year in September. And the other piece is that, and we appreciate your help on that as well. The other piece is that if there is interest in forming strategic planning subcommittee, I think that it would be great to get that word to the committee chairs. If any members are interested.
I see we have a raised hand from Ms. Allen, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that I think it would be fine to have a break in August that'll allow staff time or any of us to help, you know, recruit for any open positions. And also give staff enough time to kind of regroup particularly with some of the policies or some of the other initiatives that have come up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't want to speak for anybody else, but for me, August sounds like a great time to take a little bit of time off from our perspective and give staff the chance to catch up with everything.
And go on vacation.
And go on vacation. Much needed and well-deserved. Anything else from any of the other panelists?
Do I raise my hand?
It's Pam. You can just go ahead.
Thanks, Langston.
Of course.
Just curious about do the chairs carry over? Are Langston and are we going to have our same leadership team next year?
I believe it.
Okay, great.
I believe it. We vote every at the beginning of every.
Okay. Okay. But we're still in, so if folks are interested in serving, do they get in touch with the current chairs? Is that how it works?
Serving as chair?
No, for serving on the strategic planning subcommittee.
Yeah, either in touch with chairs or the staff, or if that's something that people would like to discuss right now, I'm more than happy to. But if that feels like a better time to do at a different date, then we can also do that.
Volunteers for strategic planning committee are really welcome to speak up now, so that the chairs can say they appoint you.
Yep.
I think that would be great.
I am interested. I will state that now. I would love to serve.
All right. Well, I'm more than happy to nominate Pam as a strategic planning subcommittee member. Ms. Allen. No.
Yes, I'll second that.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, so it sounds like we have one subcommittee member. How many are on the subcommittee, Ms. Taylor?
Well, we can't have a quorum. But, you know, normally for a subcommittee, you know, five people is, you know, about what you would have. But in case of strategic planning, I would say you should, you know, go up to the quorum. It's really many, you know, the voices are, it's really important work, and it gets you really into the heart of OFCY. And so I just encourage anybody who's interested. You know, our only, you know, consideration is that we're trying to make sure that we get particularly youth commissioners. Only Langston is our only youth who will be back next year, I think. If I didn't get a chance to strong arm Dwayne, we want to make sure that we do have, you know, just a broad, you know, representation on that commission, on that committee. So, you know, at least five would be great. And we would like to have youth voice on that as well. Obviously, we'd like to have people from different districts, obviously. So.
But that doesn't need to be finalized today, right?
No, it does not.
Okay. Well, with that said, it sounds like we've got a pretty good start. And if more people become interested, then please reach out to me or Ms. Allen or any of the staff.
Well, we will be, we probably will email you about that to make sure that we are generating sufficient committee membership to get to be at a quick pace in September.
That sounds great.
Okay.
Anything else regarding general announcements from the staff?
I don't have anything.
All right, and so we talked a little bit about upcoming meetings. Do you want to talk about that more, or what are we looking at for that?
Yeah, I appreciate the fact that, you know, the POC members of, you know, are willing to take a break in August. That's tradition, and definitely, I'm sure that will be much appreciated all around. So the next meeting would be the 2nd or the 16th. And I'm not sure if Labor Day is it the
7th?
Okay.
So we should be clear. The 2nd or the 16th. Yeah, I mean, that's a little far in advance for me, so I don't have anything scheduled yet. But I don't know. I don't know about other people.
So the 3rd Wednesdays are hard for me.
Okay.
All right. So how about we put it at a tentative September 2nd? And then okay. If it needs to be amended, we can change that as needed.
Yes, and we will follow up with confirming that. But definitely September 2nd. Okay.
Fantastic. All right. Anything else before we close?
I have nothing else. I mean, one of the members did raise a interest or possibility of doing a retreat in the fall. And that is something that really ties in well when we are sort of revisiting strategic plan goals and the values and where we are at this time and place. And so, I mean, that's something that we also will try to plan and prepare for the 2nd, for further discussion on the 2nd. We also would have to do like an orientation as we have many new members coming on, and we'll try to reach out to them also in the interim to do a little better job of connecting with them around the OCY's processes and cycle and goals. So that's really all I have.
All right. Well, if there's nothing further, then this has been a great last meeting of the year. Thank you to all the staff and for everybody who's participated. And it is 7:18. This meeting is now adjourned.
Awesome. Have a good night, everyone.
Likewise.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you, William. Thank you, William.